Hi, everyone. Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to the UBS Market Moves podcast channel. For today, we are continuing our monthly series Around the Horn with UBS Asset Management's fixed income team. On a monthly basis, we are joined by top portfolio managers and business heads from Asset Management's muni, taxable fixed income, and liquidity teams, where we do hear candidly from them on their views on the markets and what they believe you should be focused on within the fixed income space. So joining us for today's roundtable, glad to welcome back Anthony Liotti, head of the Fixed Income SMA Advisory Group, Dave Walczak and Dave Rothweiler, senior portfolio managers for Asset Management's Liquidity Strategies, Philippe Telles, senior portfolio manager for Asset Management's U.S. Corporate Fixed Income Strategies, Matt Iannucci, head of Asset Management's Developed U.S. High Yield Corporate Fixed Income Strategy, as well as Chuck Grande, head of the Municipal Bond Investment Team. So with that, Anthony, I will pass it over to you to lead today's roundtable. Welcome back.
Welcome, everyone, to the July edition of UBS Asset Management's Fixed Income Around the Horn. Like we always do, I'll provide a bit of a backdrop regarding the macro picture and then turn it over to our portfolio managers for their insight and comments. Turning to the first half of the year, which is completed, I'd say the biggest surprise was probably the market and the Fed's miss on the expected shift in policy. As we passed through the July 4th weekend, it was expected, I'd say, heading into 2024, that at this point of the year, we would have probably or expected to see one, if not two cuts by the Fed already. But here we stand on the recording of this call, the 10th of July, and we're still waiting and perhaps even debating their first move. The Fed continues to state and remain data dependent, as we know they always are, in determining when is going to be the correct time to shift in this period of pause to the expected cuts. Last week, although it was a holiday short week, brought us the June unemployment data, which was in line with estimates. However, I'd say that the bigger surprise was the reported downward revisions in employment data from the previous month. We did see the index increase to 4.10%, so not necessarily a great jobs report considering what this economy had been used to over the past 24 months. But when you put it into a historical perspective, they're really not bad numbers by any stretch of the imagination. Additional data from June saw both U.S. manufacturing data from the ISM Purchasing Managers Index and retail sales come in a bit weaker than expected, which I'd say continues to support the narrative, which is the soft landing of the economy. It is slowing down over time. It's playing out right now, at least as the Fed would like. Turning to Chair Powell and of course, Secretary Yellen, they both had some busy weeks here testifying in the Senate and the House. Powell spoke yesterday and speaking today as well. His testimony yesterday, just to share a couple of comments, I think are fairly apropos to this call and moving forward. He stressed that more good data would strengthen the confidence in inflation moving down towards the bank's 2% target. He also stated that the U.S. is no longer an overheated economy with a job market that has cooled considerably from its pandemic era extremes and is in many ways back to where it was before that health crisis called COVID. He did go on to say elevated inflation, this is, I think, really kind of neat, important, I'd say, is not the only risk we face. Reducing policy restraint too much, too little could unduly weaken economic activity and important. The bond market's reaction to these comments and even some of his comments today, I think perhaps I use the word disappointed. There was no real clear direction or even we'd like to have him throw us a couple hints at least, but none were passed around. Today, he even said in his comments were a bit stronger that they were not prepared to say with confidence that inflation is moving down to 2%. So as of today, it looks like the likelihood for a September cut stands at around 75%. So I think that's really more in the cards as we stand today. The economic data, of course, another big week. We've got CPI, PPI for the balance of the week, two major numbers. that could sway things in a different direction. What do we have looking for the second half of the year? It's obviously going to be quite a busy one. I mentioned at least starting off tomorrow, we've got some very key data coming out. And of course, believe it or not, as it stands today, we're about a little less than 120 days away from the presidential election, to just name two key areas. But there's, of course, so much more. So with that, let's turn the call over to our PMs, get their thoughts, observation, comments on how we are currently positioning across our different fixed income SMA solutions. And we'll start, like we always do on the front end, with our liquidity team. Dave Walczak, take it away, my friend.
Yeah, thanks, Anthony. So I think you did a really good job kind of recapping, obviously, Fed Chair Powell's testimony on the Hill the past couple of days, as well as some of the recent economic data. So I think we would, sympathize with a lot of those views. Generally speaking, kind of our own Fed forecast for the remainder part of the year, at least one cut, we could definitely see scope for two, depending on how the data comes in. I think that's really been the message that Fed Chair Powell and other FOMC members have tried to convey to the markets, is the fact that, they're willing to be patient, they're willing to be data dependent. So, not surprising that just, raises the importance of some of the data that, you mentioned, Anthony, that we got last week, and then also to what we have in store for us for the remainder part of this month. So, one thing I think we'll be paying close attention to, at least as relates to the July FOMC meeting at the end of the month, is, does the Fed, and assuming, the data kind of continues to move in their favor, do they, start to drop some hints that, potentially they're considering, a rate cut at an upcoming meeting. So, looking for changes in the statement, of course, will be, paying close attention to Fed Chair Powell's press conference. But yeah, I think you kind of recapped kind of where the market is from a probability standpoint, with about 20 basis points of cuts priced in by September, and then just a little bit over 50 bips by the end of the year. So we'll be, paying close attention to the data, of course, listening to FOMC officials as they come out with their speeches continuing on. Just one additional point I wanted to bring up just in terms of some flows that we're seeing here in the front end. I know I typically mention this on these calls, but just in terms of flows overall and money market funds, we continue to see a rebound from the drawdown that we saw during tax time earlier this year. We did see a little bit of a dip most recently in June due to corporate tax day, but it looks like the last reading that we did get for the end of June, we saw a slight spike up from there. So, all told, we've seen about a little bit over $200 billion worth of assets flow into money market funds here in the U.S. So, kind of another year of, pretty steady flows into those funds. With that, I'll hand it over to my colleague, Dave Roethlisberger, to talk about some of our strategies a little bit further out the curve.
Yeah, thanks so much, Dave. So starting with sectors, we continue to see little to no value in agency paper. In fact, the bigger on-the-run U.S. agencies are often trading true U.S. treasuries. In terms of corporates, we expect new issue supply to somewhat moderate in the back half of the year. Some issuers have probably front-loaded their needs before the fall elections. On the valuation front, after hitting year-to-date tights in spreads in May, we widened in June, partly due to volatility surrounding the French elections. At this point, we've retraced about half the move back tighter, with the Bloomberg U.S. Corp 1 to 3 index now at about 56 basis points. The spreads have tightened compared to the broader market out the curve. The short end at times has lagged a bit, which still gives opportunity to add corporate risk at these wider levels, especially in industrials. On the asset-backed front, our analysts indicate month-over-month credit performance has been steady, with more variables improving than deteriorating. One-year AAA prime ABS is trading around the plus 40 to 50 basis point level over treasuries, which is comparable to some bank paper. Against the backdrop of slightly softer employment and economic growth, financial conditions are still easy, which supports an up in quality trade. As evidence of that, the 1 to 3 triple Bs have compressed versus triple As down to their near 5-year range. So we're at the lows of the 5-year range at this point. So with that, I'll hand it over to Philippe.
Thanks, David. So more of the same for IG. The environment for investment grade credit remains supportive and the economy is growing, inflation is moderating, monetary policy bias to ease. On the growth factor first, second quarter 2024 estimates around 1.5% represent a slowdown, as mentioned by David, but this level of growth aligns with the long-term trend and has historically been good for credit. The rebalancing of the labor market, which is less tight, and the moderating price pressures give us more confidence in the Fed's next move will be to cut interest rates. The degree and timing I'll discuss will depend on the income, employment, and inflation data, as mentioned by Wozak. In addition to a supportive macro environment, U.S. IG yields around 5.5% remain at multi-year highs, providing a attractive entry point for investors. With the expectations of lower interest rates in the future, there is a potential to benefit from capital appreciation, as well as locking in high yields for longer. And IG is really like well-placed as investors can get exposure to duration and additional compensation in the form of credit spreads from really high-quality U.S. corporates. At a corporate level, we see strength through earnings and disciplined capital management. Q1 earnings were the best we've had in the last year and a half, and the expectations for Q2 and the remainder of the year have been upgraded. In terms of balance sheets, there has been $194 billion worth of corporate bonds that were upgraded compared to $14 billion of downgrades during Q2. This is almost a 14-to-1 ratio of upgrades to downgrades, and no bonds were downgraded to high yield last year. So pretty strong performance at a fundamental level. It's no surprise that demand for IG has been strong this year, with almost $200 billion coming into high-grade products. We are expecting supply-demand dynamics to remain balanced in the second half of the year as a result of the elections and the lower supply of corporate bonds. There has been some volatility, as mentioned by David. We have experienced increased market volatility attributed to the French elections, which temporarily widened credit spreads. However, the event was quite short-lived, and spreads, at least in the intermediate part of the curve, have largely returned to pre-election levels. But nevertheless, June was the first month of spread widening we've had in the year of 2024. I'll stop here and pass it over to Matthew Iannucci, who's going to talk a little bit about high yield.
Thanks a lot, Philippe. Much of the sentiment for our high yield echoes that of what Philippe mentioned within the IG space. Over the month, markets have slipped into a summertime mode with two closely timed holidays leading trading volumes lower into the industry. With Q2 earnings about to kick off, we have entered the corporate blackout period where we expect the market tone to remain muted and for the new issues volumes to remain relatively low throughout July. Despite the new issue calendar being up nearly 75% year to date for the same period year over year, the market universe has actually only grown around 2-3% after netting out bond refinancing. This has firmly created a strong technical backdrop as asset managers hold on to positions longer given limited investment alternatives. The feedback loop for this has caused spread volatility to remain low, where current spreads level of 315 basis points remain unchanged from a month ago levels, while having traded within a narrow 10 basis point band over the last 30 days. When we look back or take this further out the last 5 months, the story is similar, where spreads have remained within a modest 25 basis points for more than 90% of the time bonds traded. Tight spread levels have been a topic of late as we sit 25 basis points wide of the 10-year tights. The thing to consider, though, here is that the quality of the universe has improved, with double Bs representing 53% of the universe, which is 5% higher than it was back in 2018. So in summary, the high-quality index composition, open access to capital markets, along with strong fundamentals and strong technicals, all support the current valuation levels while delivering attractive all-in yields and income from a historical basis. I'll stop there and turn it over to Anthony, I believe.
Yeah, thank you, Matt. Very good. I'm going to pass it over to Chuck Grande for our municipal recap. Chuck?
Well, thank you, Anthony. I appreciate that. So the municipal bond market closed out May with year-to-date performance down almost 2% in total. For the month of May, we were down 29 basis points, driving year-to-date performance down 1.91%. June really was the comeback month for muni performance. We were able to post very positive performance of 153 basis points for the month, taking year-to-date performance close to flat, down 40 basis points on the year at that stage of the game. Once again, when we look at performance across the curve, investing in longer maturity bonds carried the day with Bloomberg Municipal Long Bond Index and the 20-year index returning the best returns for the market at 2.10% for the long bond index and 1.86% for the 20-year index. Shorter maturity bonds struggle with performance, and if we were to look across the yield curve, just in terms of what yields have done, you would notice that in that 3-year to 8-year area of the curve, yields remain the highest all along the municipal yield curve. And it's been an area of the market that we've been avoiding because the total return curve is so flat. There's very little performance to be had investing in that area of the curve. So from a performance point of view, really not that attractive. What has been driving performance has been technicals. And we went through a period of pretty extraordinary reinvestment demand in June, and now again we're going through it in July. We have had significant issuance for the year, with the market projecting issuance up about 28%. But deals are getting done and put away fairly quickly. If you were to look at some of the Lipper numbers for flows into the mutual fund complex, we're up over $11 billion for the year. So we've had this very good balance of technicals, demand versus supply, and certainly with it leaning more towards demand than supply. We continue to advocate getting into this market and investing now. We still continue to believe that a lot of the supply growth that we have seen for the year is just front-loading of supply prior to the national election that we're going to experience later on in the year. We do expect it'll be more and more difficult to get invested as the summer proceeds. Certainly in the month of August, we are anticipating a drop-off in supply. The wild card certainly is going to be the national election and the anticipation of when the inflection point for the Fed is actually realized. And we prefer to sit on the sidelines for those two events and watch them occur and then take advantage of the market at that stage of the game. In terms of duration on our intermediate strategy, we continue to maintain what's been fairly our duration for the year, say between 5.25 and 5.5, executing on a barbell. Using VRDNs, that 1 to 3 year area of the curve, out longer, 16, 17 years to pick up yield. And then when the opportunity exists to pick up some lower rated credits at a wider benefit in terms of yields, we certainly are doing that when and where possible. But we're being very cautious on credit, despite the very good north of 4% performance of the high yield market, primarily because of the expected slowdown in the economy and the trend that that will have just for muni credit over the longer term. I'll stop there and I'll turn it back to you, Anthony.
Great job by all. I think that's a lot of great content for everyone tuning in. Thank you again. Hopefully we'll see you in August. Have a great rest of the month of July. Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit ubs.com/CIO to view the latest research.
As a firm providing wealth management services to clients, UBS Financial Services, Inc. offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC-registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC-registered broker-dealer. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that you understand the ways in which we conduct business and that you carefully read the agreement and disclosures that we provide to you about the products or services we offer. For more information, please review client relationship summary provided at ubs.com/relationship summary or ask your UBS financial advisor for a copy.